Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So with several stories of sexual misconduct in the New York and Los Angeles public schools right now, and the jury selected for the trial of Penn State's Jerry Sandusky, maybe you think this is a problem limited to the public schools. But the cover story of this coming weekend's New York Times Magazine will remind you sex abuse isn't limited by class, but can happen at the most elite prep schools. Amos Camille joins me now to talk about his article, Prep School Predators, the Horace Mann School's Secret History of Sexual Abuse. Amos, thank you very much for coming on WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
You're a graduate of Horace Mann, and part of this story is a personal account of interactions with teachers, but you were not a victim of sexual abuse yourself, correct?
That's correct. I was not abused. Sadly, many of my close friends were, but I was not.
And for people who don't know the school, it's one of the top-ranked prep schools in the country. So many illustrious alumni, Arthur Sulzberger, Elliot Spitzer, Robert Caro, on and on and on. How did you come to report this story? It looks like you went camping with some fellow alumni and stories came out around the campfire?
Basically, what happened was I attended HM from 79 to 82. I went on a baseball scholarship. And we, all the students, traded in a lot of rumors at the time around the cafeteria. This teacher was doing this one to that one, and it was on and on. And it was pretty much, it was pretty endless. But we just sort of sloughed it off as latent homophobia or the typical rumors that go around any high school.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years later, a bunch of us went camping, five of us, and one night after a particularly grueling hike, one of my friends basically said, guys, I got to tell you something. I was raped by Mark Wright. They used that term. And he had our attention very quickly. And basically what happened right after that was actually even more astonishing. We all went around the campfire, although that being the most vivid and the most extreme, we all had many boundary-blurring experiences, from going out drinking with our teachers to being approached. So after Penn State happened, we all sort of went about our lives, 20 years go by. After Penn State happened, it sort of hit me. Wow, we lived through something like this as well. And I reached out to this one friend I just mentioned. He's called Andrew in the piece. And I said, how you doing? And he said, I'm not doing very well. I wish somebody would write about it. And so I found myself on the train the next day for about 7 hours, and I just wrote what I thought I knew. And 30 pages later, I said, whoa, there's a lot here. And from that led to the piece and about half a year of contacting people and sifting through a lot of rumors.
Did you interview school officials, and did they acknowledge or deny anything?
I really tried hard to. I bent over backwards to approach the school, but sadly the school really just put a PR firm on me and gave very generic standard lawyerese type answers to my very specific questions.
What period of time are we talking about?
We're talking about the rumors started, as far as I can tell, the rumors that I've been able to corroborate, and then started circling around in the early 60s, all the way until 2002, where this one teacher in the piece, Johannes Samari, was teaching. He taught from 59 till 2002. And there were many, many, many stories about Professor Samari or Johannes Samari.
So this is a problem from the past, not the present, as far as you're alleging, correct?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I can't speculate on that. I don't know exactly what's happening there today. I think the school is probably a very different institution. However, many of the victims, and many more are coming forward every day, are still in a lot of pain, and they would like the school to at least acknowledge that these things happened, and it's just sort of sealing in and helping to keeping the pain for many of these many victims.
You did document that in at least two instances, teachers were immediately dismissed after some things happened. What were those incidents?
There was one teacher that was a football coach slash art teacher, and he taught there for roughly 2 years, and he, under the guise of checking out students to see if they were able to speak to play sports, he would perform these examinations, and abuse would occur there. And there were rumors about him. He was already gone by the time I got there, but it happened to many kids, and I spoke to many of the victims. And then finally, one kid blew the whistle, and the school got rid of him. But it was a small place, and people talked a lot about this happening. So today, I think even the fact that somebody might even just talk about a teacher in that way, I would like to hope that action would be taken a lot quicker.
And you found a big disparity between how the kids responded and how they came out of it years later. The boys who sounded the alarm and saw the administration take action said they suffered less or no lasting effects?
Right. So, you know, I think that's a function of when it happened to them. So let's say there was, in the case of Mark Wright, I don't know exactly. I've documented a few more just came out yesterday. But let's say there were 10. I'm just making up a number. But those people who had happened to at the beginning and the administration didn't do anything about it, their lives have been devastated in many ways. Same thing for the victims of Johannes Somari. But in the case of Mark Wright, the people who, towards the end of this this chain, if you will, who went to them, to the administration, he was fired, they felt better as if their complaints were immediately answered, and they haven't suffered long-term effects. And that's part of the devastating feature in all of this, this silence that gets locked, the concentric circles of silence.
And Somari, I gather, was a teacher who was kept on after these allegations. My guest is Amos Camille. He is talking about his article, Prep School Predators, The Horace Mann School Secret History of Sexual Abuse, which will be the cover story in the New York Times Magazine this Sunday. I want to take a critic of your article calling in, and people have already been able to read it online for the last day or so. This critic is calling anonymously, and we will put him on the air. Hello, thank you for calling in.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I read the article last night, and I was class of 80. I feel like it has no context for the greater within the greater society of what was going on and what goes on. And I feel like I had most of these. I knew all these teachers. I had most of them. I had private time with everyone named in the article as being an abuser. I did not feel like they were going to abuse me in any way. I'm incredibly grateful to Johannes Somari for his teaching, and I was in the Glee Club. I think he was terrific and an amazing person. Had a profound impact on my life. This story is going to probably be the most anticipated story of the decade in terms of in the New York Times Magazine. I walked out of my apartment this morning and saw it splashed across other newspapers. And this is how Horace Mann is going to be remembered now forever. And I think at the time, you have to know, like I was a ninth grader, and I walked into to Studio 54, you know, drinking, and walked in and saw Roy Cohen there with a lot of young guys. It was a different time. Not that any of this was acceptable, and I'm not defending it, but I think that one in six boys under the age of 18 now are abused sexually, and this is in the society. Was in the society. I never thought I was going to be abused at school, but I had a neighbor at the time who tried to do stuff to me, a male neighbor, and I fended him off. And this is the thing that I wish that the editor of the magazine had put into the article or demanded to be put in the article.
More of that kind of content. Well, I really appreciate your call, and Amos, how do you react to this fellow alum who thinks that the reputation of the school is going to be too broadly tarnished from this, even the reputation of some of the teachers who are named? And we should say, I guess, that all the teachers who you name by name are now deceased.
That's true. First of all, I'm glad he was not abused. One of the hard things about this subject matter is that these predators, they're almost like fly fishermen. They'll go after, you know, they'll sift through hundreds and hundreds of kids, and they're very good at picking the ones that will not talk, and the successful ones anyway. And in the case of Samari, he did it year after year after year, and it's a very hard thing to, you know, to basically defend. I also had an amazing 3 years at Horace Mann. I loved the place. However, at some point, the school became more interested in protecting its reputation than protecting the kids that it was supposed to educate, nurture, defend, and help lead great lives. They failed in that, as far as I'm concerned.
The caller also referenced the larger cultural context of this going on more at that time, still some today. Don't make this all about Horace Mann. You write that you wanted to explore how an institutional culture comes to condone or ignore something that everyone knows is wrong and going on. So as a general matter, what did you conclude?
I feel there's, although all the individuals know something is wrong, there's this, as I mentioned before, a concentric circles of silence that happen, right? So the victim, the abuser will pick the right victim, as I mentioned before, and the victim's not going to talk to his friends. It's not something that gets you a lot of credibility in the lunchroom, talk to you about your own abuse. Then they might go to their parents, and the parents don't want to hear about it because they can't deal with it themselves. And the teachers and the administrators, they don't know exactly. It's rumor, so they don't want to go forward and talk about it. Then you have the board of trustees that its job is to keep money flowing in and to keep the reputation of the school going. And so they'll circle around. And then you have laws that really protect people from stop people from speaking because there's a statute of limitations. And so people end up very silent on this issue. So there's all these different layers. I'm under no illusion that this happens only at Horace Mann. It's probably only a story just because it's Horace Mann, but it happens everywhere. However, I think Horace Mann has a leadership role to play here. It claims to be a leading institution. It should lead. We have an epidemic in our country, as the caller points out. Let's talk about this. There's 1 out of 5 kids in America will be abused before the time they hit 18. 1 out of 5. That's a staggering number that I learned in the last six months. Horace Mann should take a leadership, maybe even start by a Truth and Reconciliation Commission of its own victims.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get to one other thing before we run out of time in about a minute. The accounts you wrote were about all male teachers with male students.
Yes.
But this isn't an exclusively gay male problem, right?
I wouldn't even say it's gay. I don't think there's two things there. I don't think it's a homosexual issue. I think, first of all, more girls are abused than boys, 1 out of 7 to 1 out of 4. And so, you know, that's something I want to clear up. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of that question?
That's it. That it's not just about male homosexuality.
Not at all. I think that gets a lot of the headlines, as does the fact that it's an elite private school, but it happens everywhere, and we need to talk about it and have victims talk about it.
And, of course, the latest story out of the New York public school system is that female teacher who had an affair with a male student, and so these things go on and on. Amos Camille has the cover story in this coming weekend's New York Times Magazine, Prep School Predators, The Horace Mann School's Secret History of Sexual Abuse. Thank you for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you, Brian.